And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, again, as we continue this journey together, we hear this evening from Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul. You see, I took the King of the universe, blessed he be, very seriously. I took the study of his Torah very seriously, and so naturally, I took violations of his holy law and blasphemy very seriously. Unfortunately, I also took myself very seriously. And with him, well, with him, that doesn't usually play too well. There are many scriptures, I thought, that were written in support of me. Like, for instance, the holy prophet Isaiah wrote these words, "In Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light." Now, when it says the people, it does not mean the Gentiles themselves. It means the people of the Holy One who live among the Gentiles in Galilee. And when it says who live in darkness, it does not mean that there are so many clouds that the sun does not shine. It means rather that they are in spiritual darkness of having departed from his holiness. And when it says have seen a great light, what is that light but the heat and the fire of his judgment upon them? And as it says later in the same chapter, that they are destined for burning, and they will be fuel for the fire. By the grace of the Holy Lord, who is forever blessed, I was called to be that judgment, to bring that light and fire to those of Galilee who blasphemed, who thought their crucified criminal leader that they called Jesus was actually equal to the Holy One, the Almighty God. But the holy prophet Amos wrote of the coming judgment, "Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord, for that day will be darkness, not light." And when I read the words of that great warrior David, he wrote, Your word is a lamp for my feet. It's a light for my path." Well, I thought I was on the side of King David and that God was on our side. The old king knew better than that, and I should have too. A light for my feet, a lamp to my path. When the light appeared to me, Father David, it was so bright, it was so piercing that I couldn't even see the path anymore. I couldn't even see my own feet. I was blinded. For days, when this light shone, I thought I heard a voice or a presence with an aha that was really directed at me. It was painful and it was harsh and it was a blinding light. "Who are you or what are you?" I asked. "I am Jesus," came the dreadful reply. "Whom you persecute." Jesus said that. The very blaspheming Galilean who caused all the trouble in the first place. Oh, I hated him and his people for their ungodly ways. By heaven, my anger burned with a heat and light. Or I thought I was burned with heat and light, but my anger was really as nothing now. Faced with this light, what I thought was holy, righteous anger seemed little more than an irritation, like the annoyance of being poked in the ribs when you're sitting comfortably. And there was a smile in that blessed voice. Now, as he said to me gently, but irritatingly, "It's hard for you when you kick against the goad." You know, the cattle prod? And all my proud ideas my career plans, my self-image came crashing down like a great big rickety house built on sand. What a day. And everything went dark. And I could not see. It's interesting. My darkness was brought on by light. But what do I know of light before this? What did I know of righteous anger? What did I know of holiness or justice or, heaven forbid, love? Absolutely nothing. The greatest, the highest, the most noble achievement I had managed thus far was to be irritated, to feel the Holy One, blessed He be, poking me in the ribs with His cattle prod, His irritant Son, Jesus Christ. And instead of going where He wanted, I followed my own path, silly and educated, self-righteous, intellectual man path that I was following. You know what Jesus said about that? He said it about us Pharisees, that we're blind guides. This Jesus said that, who made the blind to see. And Jesus then said, won't they both fall into a pit? You know, that day my colleagues had to lead me by the hand to our accommodations in Damascus. I couldn't even see. And we were going to this street called Straight Street. And straight as the way was, I was still blindly bumbling around and running into things because I couldn't see. It's hard for you to kick against the prodding. Jesus was an irritant, deliberately God's irritant, pushing me. But oh, He was pushing me into the right way. You know, Peter once told me a story about when he got it wrong. He was confronting Jesus because Jesus was talking about the necessity that He was going to have to go and be crucified. And Peter said to Him, "This shall never happen to you, Lord." And then Peter shared with me how stern and angry Jesus was with him. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter said it reminded him of a weird episode the week before. Jesus had healed a blind man, except like Peter and like me, he could see, but not clearly enough. And he said, looking at other people, it was like looking at trees. The man needed more healing. He needed more Jesus. Jesus said, "You can have ears to hear, but not hear." And he said, "You can have eyes to see and still not see." But Jesus traveled to where people were. And He did that to heal them. He sought me out. And wouldn't you know, to blind me of all things. But He sought me out to heal me. Oh, how I had missed the resemblance of Jesus to our Father in heaven. When our first parents sinned back in the garden, God did not stand apart and judge, but He came back and He walked up and down in the garden and He asked an awkward question, "Where are you?" And you know, in our day and in your day as well, He does the same thing. He walks among us and He still asks that question, "Where are you?" How did I miss it for so long? He came looking for us and calling us. That's Jesus. That's the way He works. He walks straight up to you. He spits in your eyes. And then your eyes are opened. And you see for the very first time. How blessed it is that I can see now. Oh, blessed is he, the King of the universe, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, of whose governance there will be no end. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who died for us, who lives and reigns, who rose from the dead. Let us pray. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, we marvel at how you intervened in Saul's life. From the church's perspective of the day, from Ananias' perspective, it was like, why in the world would you even consider this man, Lord? Don't you know what he's done? But Lord, you are all powerful and you can change the hearts of any individual. If we don't believe that, we just need to look in the mirror at ourselves and rejoice that you have changed our hearts. Lord, we thank you for the great apostle Paul and the many multitudes of people that he reached during his lifetime of ministry on this earth and continues to reach through your word that you inspired him to write to this very day. Lord, may we be ever so bold and courageous, like the Apostle Paul, to go forth and to live our faith and to share your truth with every opportunity we have to do so. We ask it in your name, Jesus, giving you thanks for the new life, for the sight that you have given to us as well. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.